This is the PubRight Podcast, a service of the Arbortex community.
Good morning. Today we have Simon Taylor from PTC. We're going to talk about style and publishing and different ways to go about it when you're up against tricky things. Good morning, Simon.
Hello, Liz. How are you?
I'm good. Do you want to tell the folks a little bit about who you are and your background and where you come from?
Okie dokie. Well, as Liz said, I'm Simon Taylor. I'm the product manager for the Advancement Publisher and Arbortex Styler at PTC. I've been doing the job for about 4 years now, but before that I was heavily involved in APP in both services and pre-sales, and I've been using the product for about 13, 14 years. I spent all my life in publishing, so I like to think I know a little bit about it, various forms. So, yeah, that's, I know stuff about how to go about making things look pretty on pages. I guess right. That's how you could describe what I do.
Exactly. And you and I were talking recently about how print in dynamic publishing is done and sort of the two schools of thought about how to go about doing that. And on the one side, we have the old school Fosse sort of mindset, and on the other side is what APP does and things like InDesign. I don't really know which side you'd say XSLFO fits in.
Well, we have in Arbortex now, we have this fantastic new advanced print publisher capability. So you can start making use of that from 5.4 onwards. APP's quite different from Fosse and XSLFO in that it's, although you can use it in an entirely lights out environment, you can also open up in a desktop and start messing around with the pages that you've created or build pages from scratch. So it can be a more interactive experience with page layout.
So, wow, that's completely different, because even with Fosse and FO, you can't even ask, you know, what page am I on?
Right. There's that level of stuff, but also being able to open up a composed document and tweak it. You certainly can't do that in any black box tool. And Fosse and XSLFO are entirely black box. There's no level of interactivity there.
Right.
But you're right about the other thing. One of the great things that APP gives you is the ability to test what's going on a page while you're formatting. So if in the previous podcast that we did, I showed how you can create a style which behaves differently whether it's on a left or a right-hand page.
Right, I remember that.
And that's a really simple example of a real-life requirement. You know, you have to sometimes have your layout behave differently depending on what page it's on, what page orientation.
So now I remember that I can do that some level of that in both FO and Fosse, where you can have a left-hand page and a right-hand page, but I don't know that I can actually change style for an element based on that, though.
No, the text styling itself isn't aware of what it is, because it tends to be content tests, you know, content hierarchy type tests that you're performing, rather than format result type tests.
Interesting. Where do you normally see, when do people come up against this? Like, so I can see that it'd be nice to have different on right and left pages, but who runs into that? Like, which kind of customer profiles?
All kinds of customers. It's not just your high-end publishing type customers who are producing some gorgeous looking coffee table type book. It's even your basic technical service manual. You might want to have the graphics which illustrate a certain part in your car, for example. You might want those graphics always to be on the outside edge of a page, so that when the mechanic or the engineer is flicking through it, he can find what he's looking for quickly. And so if you can switch that kind of stuff around by testing which page orientation you're on, then in APP it's a very simple thing to do. There's a very simple one-line test you can perform.
Wow. One-line test. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So let's what other kinds of things? So for the audience that's listening, I suspect that most people are either familiar with FO's version. You know, there are a lot of FOSSI people out there, but that's not as current. So we'll put those two groups together. And the other side are the InDesign folks. What kind of things push you? From FO, and where are those corners?
So you're trying to find out where one engine runs out of steam and you want to start thinking about the other one?
Yeah.
So one of the examples I tend to drag out whenever I'm comparing APP in like a sales opportunity against other things like XSLFO is that the level of control you have over your page regions. In APP, we call them frames. Page regions, you can stick those anywhere you like on a page inside APP, and you can have up to 400 of them at any location on the page or off the page. So in XSLFO, you're limited to five different regions.
Right.
The header, footer, main content.
Left and right hand, yeah.
Or start and end regions. In APP, you can put them anywhere you like. And you can do all kinds of weird and wonderful things to them. Like you can rotate them to any angle. You can apply graphical rules to the outside of them and stack about, I think it's 20 different rules on the outside of a region. You can anchor them to positions in the text. So things like floats, a really powerful tool inside APP. So you can automate that more aesthetic look and feel of placing figures and tables and that kind of thing close to where they're cited in the text. We've got some weird and wonderful things you can do with the regions in APP. You can tie them together, for example. So you might have two separate page regions, but they kind of behave as a single unit. So if you move one, then the other one's going to move relative to that one.
Oh,
and if you resize one, then the other one's going to resize relative to it. We call that frame ties. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Feature. You can generate these frames using inline commands. So you might have a specific construct in your content model which says, right, I need to stick this somewhere on a page in a separate frame. And so you can use inline commands inside APP to generate that frame, put some content in it, and stick it where you like. What else can you do with them?
So
you can.
I remember side by side being very difficult to achieve in FOSSI, and FO. You pretty much the only way to do that is to go through a table structure or a list structure, and you're very limited to where, because you either have to build a list in a list or a table in a table to get, something like that. If you're really trying to do something difficult.
Yeah.
This would be just you just put it in a float and it just fits in?
Yeah. And you can even have the main
just
content.
Say yes.
Yeah. You can even have the main content wrapping around it as well if you like. So say you've got a big title or a pulled quote or a graphic that you want to sit kind of near your text, and you can place it aligned with the top of your content, and then the main content itself can wrap around the box that gets created.
And I think we showed this in the one that you did, or maybe Lori showed it. We had a graphic that was diagonal on one side, and the text just sort of flowed down around and then flipped back out underneath.
Yeah, that sounds like a Lori thing. But if you got a graphic in a frame and that graphic's got a clipping path, then you can wrap around that clipping path as well, which is pretty cool. A clipping path would be like an outline, which is drawn in Photoshop, which sort of delineates where you want, you know, the visible bit of the graphic that you want to show.
Okay. Cool. So you can, so wait a minute, let me see if I'm thinking about this right. You could have, are you telling me that I could put text on top of a graphic and put like white under a background on the text so that it's only part of the graphic's visible?
In Photoshop, you can put a path on the graphic. It's called a clipping path. Okay, and you could basically say this is the visible bit of the graphic that I want to show when I print. And in APP, you can get the text to run up against that path. Okay, so it can follow the outline of the path that you draw on it.
Wow, I don't know that I know much of anything that'll reach into a graphic and pull out sort of that kind of information.
Products like InDesign can, proper DTP type products can do that kind of thing, but there aren't many fully automated applications which will allow you to do that.
So I could just, I could throw that graphic in, knowing where it goes, and I don't even really have to manhandle it at all.
No.
Oh my God. Wow. I learn new things about APP all the time.
If you're doing something like a product catalog, yeah, that's the kind of thing that you would want to do in a product catalog, where you want to show off the nice product they're trying to sell, but you want to make it look pretty by wrapping the content around it.
So we've got wrapping content around clipping path in a graphic.
Mm-hmm.
We've got doing things that are more side by side, and being able to resize and float that and tie them together.
So let's talk a bit about side by side, because side by side isn't just like your standard tabular kind of look and feel.
Oh.
It can be loads of different kinds of things. So there's this idea of having a block of something, whether it's text or graphics, and the content flowing around it. Yeah, that's a good example of side by side. But then you might want to think about how you'd want to align that thing next to the text that it's aligned to. So it might be top aligned or centered or bottom aligned, and you can do that fairly straightforwardly. What else can you do? Things like marginalia. APP's got a really powerful side note capability, so you can extract some content from the main content stream and then dump it out into a side note.
Mm-hmm.
And have those behave really nicely so that if they take up too much space, then it can move others around. That kind of thing.
Okay.
And then we have this crazy feature called synoptic alignment, which allows you to align multiple content streams at the same vertical position on a page.
So that's what we saw when we saw the French and English.
That's the thing.
Legal publishing from the Canada House of Commons.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was very cool, I have to say.
Well, that kind of highlights a couple of things. Not only is that vertical formatting thing really cool, because doing it otherwise is a real pain, but it also highlights the fact that APP can handle multiple content streams at the same time, which is, you know, completely different to XSLFO and FOSSI.
Yeah.
So you can flow streams parallel to each other and have those things interact with each other. And you can also, you can even load content streams into APP and then use XPath or XPointer to look into those and extract bits of content out, even if they're not displaying the whole thing on the page.
So the Canada House of Commons, I can see, because you got languages on both sides. Who else is doing that? Where else do you see that?
What, the synoptic alignment?
Yeah.
It's been created for Bible publishers.
Interesting.
Yeah, they would, you know, traditionally Bible publishers would publish Greek next to Hebrew, for example.
Right.
And each of the verses in the Bible would have to align at the same position. But then there would be side notes and extra bits associated with it.
Right. And I've seen that where it's, you know, English in regular type size, and then you'll have a smaller language on top and another smaller language on underneath that, sort of all running in sync.
Right.
Oh, cool.
You could You could do like teacher's notes in a similar kind of way as well. You could have the teacher's notes in a separate stream and align those nicely with the student text.
Nice.
That would be an easy thing to do.
And you wouldn't have to profile it really either.
No.
Which is kind of how we're doing it now. I guess I need to redo all my teacher notes with APP. Very cool. So we got these kind of alignment issues with multiple content streams.
Mm-hmm.
These are three big things that are interesting. Where else do you see people coming up against trying to do something in the FOSSy FO sort of world, and just they bang their head against the wall until they either compromise and do something else, or they are driven to something like InDesign or APP?
I think one of the main reasons we put APP in to Styler and to PE was to access its language formatting capabilities. So APP's got a good understanding of how to format Japanese text, and we can format Thai text, and we also can format Hebrew and Arabic text in the right to left mode. And we can also do vertical text formatting if you want to do that too.
That's cool. Which are the? I know there's HAT, a sort of a group of languages that does things differently. But there's another set that I can never remember they're the harder ones. They're the particularly hard languages to deal with.
Chinese, Japanese, and Korean. CJK.
I'm not sure.
Chinese, Japanese, and Korean are very difficult to do, because there's a whole bunch of different rules about how you break lines, for example, and how you characters behave kind of differently if you're justifying and if you're not justifying. Things like punctuation characters, you can take out a certain amount of space off of the character itself, make it fit, make the content fit into the line, that kind of thing. And then Japanese has got some extra complicated typesetting features, like Ruby, where you'll put a small bit of text above a set of characters, and Wariichu, the annotation thing where you can have multiple lines of Japanese text on the same, fitting in the same line as the rest of the text.
Interesting.
So that stuff's pretty far out there, and. But it's stuff that APP has been able to handle for a number of years.
Right. So that's particularly good if you are trying to squeeze your page count, I guess. Because you don't, if it's optional, is it required to have sort of that grouping of characters?
Yeah, if you want to do good Japanese typesetting, then annotation and Ruby is required.
Interesting.
And as is the punctuation character behavior stuff too.
Wow. So do you see a lot of, I wonder how well that is handled in sort of the other products, even just any of them.
InDesign does a fairly good job, but I think you have to buy the Japanese version of it in order to get access to that stuff. But there, Adobe has spent a lot of time and effort focusing on that area, and they have quite a good understanding, but you wouldn't use InDesign in a lot of cases in the same way that you would use APP.
Okay. Interesting. So where are those cases?
Well, APP's ability to handle XML is really powerful, very powerful indeed. The way you can associate formatting and code with XML hierarchy is really straightforward, and it's really powerful.
Right.
There's a number of
different ways.
But it doesn't
have to be XML.
No. APP content streams can be anything. All we need is angle bracket delimited tokens in there to be able to hang formatting off.
Interesting.
There was a decision made in the mid-80s when APP was first being developed. That was when HTML was sort of getting a lot more popular. They decided that to use HTML type syntax was a good idea, but they didn't tie themselves to it being valid on in XML land. We don't require it to be well formed unless you want to make use of the DOM tree.
Interesting.
Certainly don't care about it being valid according to a schema or a DTD.
Cool. Wow.
We
So then,
rely on other
yeah.
people sorting that out for us, things like editor.
Right. Well, because at that point, I guess it's not, that's not really the goal anymore.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
And there's a load of overhead often associated with validating. And so if we don't bother about it, then we can go faster.
Right. So, what's the record speed for APP?
Oh, I don't know.
Now that we're talking speed.
I've got a JavaScript template at the moment. Did I show you that last time? JavaScript template which formats 30 pages with a tables of contents and an index in a fraction of a second. It really flies through it. It's like blink and you miss it kind of speed.
So, what else can we, what, I'm trying to think of, if I'm using, so where, how about this? So, if I'm coming from InDesign, what do I, barriers do I come up against in that kind of product? Not necessarily InDesign itself, but in any kind of desktop sort of format, really format heavy page layout application, and why do I go from there to APP?
Things like InDesign and Quark Express, they definitely have their place and they're certainly very popular and powerful tools. But they come f at publishing from an interactive point of view rather than from an automation point of view. What
Okay.
you have with APP is a good blend of automation with interaction. So we really are built around automation, but we allow a level of interaction.
Right. So, because I remember seeing that we talked already about the ability to do touch up and page creation, sort of the desktop publishing sort of tool tasks that we'd want to do in APP's desktop
Yeah.
version.
If you want to do that kind of thing, then APP is probably not your best starting point. But if you want to
Right.
Use the interactive environment to create a template which you stick on a server and have it churn through thousands and thousands of pages really quickly and producing consistent results every single time. But have the option that if one of those pages doesn't look exactly right, you can open it up in the desktop machine and tweak it, then APP's your friend in that respect.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you had, 5 pages out of 20,000, that you don't want to do 20,000 pages by hand, but fixing five is not hard.
Quite. Yeah.
Fascinating.
And things like APP always takes like a pretty pragmatic approach to doing stuff. And when we in the past when we've created solutions for people, those people have always been, in a lot of cases, they're always paid by the number of pages they can get out per day kind of thing. It's their job
Right.
to create pages and to deliver things on time. So having this ability to just open up a composed document on the desktop and tweak it slightly saves a huge amount of work. If
Right.
say you've got this 20,000 page manual and you notice on page 19,999 you've got a spelling mistake, then republishing the whole thing again is going to be a nuisance. Why not just open it up, make the correction, create the PDF of that page, and away you go. You saved
Yeah.
yourself a lot of grief there, and you actually hit your deadline rather than missing it.
Absolutely.
We did a project for a company, and if they were a day late getting their catalog to the press, then it would cost them $10,000.
Wow.
You know, saving a couple of days there buys you a couple of licenses of APP.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Amazing.
So, you know, in that project, the APP paid for itself really quickly.
Wow. And they're still going strong, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, they love it.
Amazing. Probably haven't had to touch it in years, even.
No. No, that's another one of the one of the things we often come across. We sort of dig up these old users that own a really ancient version of APP, and they say, well, it just does what it does. It just sits in the corner of the room and churns things out. We dare not touch it because the person that set it up left 5 years ago, and we don't want to mess with it.
And it works great. Wow.
Yeah.
Very cool. So let's see. We've got, let's see if I can get them all. We got the individual page touch-up in a layout, sort of what we're familiar with, desktop application.
Mm-hmm.
We've got this funky side-by-side synoptic, you know, tying, having frames and layers, which is not a part of FO or FOSSI, where you really want to have that kind of control and being able
yep.
to tie things together. We had synoptic layout, which is part of that. Multiple content streams. Very
mm-hmm.
cool. Language handling for difficult languages.
Yep.
Or languages that most of us are, well, actually probably spoken far more than English anywhere, actually. But are have very different layout requirements.
Yeah.
And publishing, printing requirements. That's a lot of the, did I miss one? I feel like I missed one.
No, I think you got the ones we've spoken about so far.
Cool. Because those are interesting places to see what the edges are and why it would drive people to.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we're just really scratching the surface there. These are the big things.
Wow.
Yeah, there's things like APP's typography control, which is, you know, pretty outrageous.
What do you mean?
Like we have something like 12 or 13 different levels of hyphenation that you can
yeah.
mess around with. You can create your own kerning and ligature tables if you want to do that. We actually use kerning tables to do hanging punctuation.
Oh.
So for a kerning table, you say, well, if I see this character next to this character, then I want to change the space between them. And so you can customize that down to the like 10,000th of a millimeter.
So forgive me for sounding stupid, but I thought that was handled mostly by the font libraries.
It is, but APP gives you a way of overriding that.
Interesting. When do you come up against that?
All the time, really. You can use it to achieve things which aren't just character related. You know, things like the hanging punctuation thing.
Right.
APP's got an internal character which describes the end or beginning of a line.
Uh-huh.
So if you have a punctuation character next to that thing, then you can tell APP to draw it out into the margin. So you
cool.
have punctuation.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you don't bump the whole word because you don't need to bump a whole word.
That's it. And you can control this on a, you know, on an inline basis. So you can wrap something in a bit of markup and, you know, control its kerning just for that little tiny thing.
Interesting. Cool.
Our rule control is another example of where we completely geeked out on a feature. So if you're used to Word, for example, you have a number of different patterns of rules
okay.
that you can select, like wavy lines or dots or dashes and that kind of thing.
Oh, those kinds of rules. Okay,
yeah.
Yes.
In APP, you can define your own mark.
Nice.
You can say, right, I want to draw something which looks like a smiley face or a flower or something, and I want to create a rule which uses that repetitively. And then I want to say, oh, I want this rule to justify. So I always want a dot or a mark in the corner of my box, and I want a certain number of marks to be spread out equally across this boundary. And you can
That's
specify
cool.
all that kind of stuff in APP. So the idea with APP is you get tools to allow you to create the layouts that you want. So you don't have to cut down your requirements of what you want to achieve. You just have to spend a little bit of extra effort achieving it.
Wow. So it really, it is everything you would do in any layout application we have seen to date on the market anywhere, plus everything else that you can do and the ability to automate all of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't like the word compromise. So, if a customer comes to us and says, we want our layouts to look like this, then we're normally very confident that we can achieve it. We don't
Wow.
like to go back to them and say, well, if you move this around and if you change this kind of layout thing, then we better do it for you. We don't like that.
Right.
We see that as being defeated. We don't like to be defeated like that.
Right.
We
Well,
like to
and
give
that's,
people exactly what they want.
yeah, that's very common for FO and FOSSI. It's, you got to make this compromise. You can't do that. I remember the first project I ever worked on. We used to have these, it was like little dots, sort of bubbles that went down the page, and then over the page was a bigger dot, over the page number. And, one of the first things they told us was, well, you can't have those dots down the page because we can't do that. And it was all FOSSI. And so they compromised and said, okay, well, it's not required, fine. Because it was too, I mean, they wanted to go so badly that they were willing to make that compromise, but it's nice to know you, they really didn't have to.
Yeah, like I say, we always see it as a as us being defeated if we if there's something that we can't do. Then they get a bit annoyed about that.
Well, so let
And
me ask you,
then we
have
add
you ever
stuff to the
had
product
one
to
that you couldn't do that you can remember?
APP at the moment isn't good at handling transparency. Well, it doesn't handle transparency. Which is kind of okay because if you're outputting to PostScript, generally you don't have a lot of transparency.
Right.
But
And if you're following
it's
the clip line on graphic, it's not going to show it anyway.
exactly. And so that's something I'd like to add to the product in the future. I think it might be a bit of a big job to do that.
Interesting.
But we had a customer in Japan, and they came to us and they said, we've heard about your product, we think it looks pretty good, but it's really expensive. And so we gave them a demo and they said, well, that's fantastic, but we're going to go with something else. And about 5 years later they came back and said, okay, we've tried making this thing ourselves, and we've tried this product and this other product, they can't do it, so we're going to go with you again.
Well, that's good.
And we did it. We could solve all their problems for them.
And they spent all that money and time
Yeah, when they didn't have
figuring
to.
out that they didn't, yeah. It's a horrible and yet good story.
Yeah, made us feel good.
Yeah, sorry to hear that they went through all of that, but I think that that's kind of what everyone tries. Fascinating. Well, cool. This is a lot of really good stuff. I'm glad to get more definition on why you're motivated to move from tools that are very popular and prevalent and sort of everywhere, and why you move out, where you hit those boundaries and need to move out of them. That's been a great thing today. So, can we do another? Maybe a video one and show this off a little bit.
Yeah, we can show some of the things that we've been talking about.
Yeah,
That'd
because I
be
think
handy.
that there's a lot more conversation still to come. It's hard to get to make that transition even in my mind. And I've been learning about it for more than a year now. But it's a good conversation to keep having. And I think
Yeah,
that it's educational for
as I say,
everyone.
we haven't really, we've just hit on a few of the big hitting items. But there's plenty of other stuff which we can save for later conversations. We can talk more about the scripting, we can talk more about the typography stuff. We can probably spend a whole hour talking about the tables on their own, stuff you can
Wow.
do inside APP tables.
Give me a little preview.
Well, we don't tie our sell and row starting things to markup in the same way. We don't require on the same structure in the markup to be able to drive our table. So we can associate it with anything and get our tables to do all kinds of weird and wonderful things. We've got a special header mode which allows you to build headers from the bottom up, almost like Tetris, and then get it to fill in the spaces.
That's cool. All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll spend a whole day talking about that. That's a good.
Yeah.
That is very cool. Excellent. Well, thank you, Simon, for your time
My
today.
Pleasure.
And I look forward to talking with you again.
Cool. Thanks very much for having me.
The PubRight Podcast is a production of Single Sourcing Solutions in San Jose, California. Copyright 2009. Single Sourcing Solutions.